Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Isn't that crazy? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to talk to us today about looking unto Jesus. Turn to somebody and tell them, look unto Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Lord, I pray that you would minister and move in this house. Let your word go forth today with power and anointing. Revelation today, I pray that your will be done. Hallelujah, Lord. We receive what you want to do. We surrender to you right now. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil and he will flee. In the name of Jesus. Oh, bless him in the name that's above every other name. I magnify the name of Jesus right now. I give you glory, Lord, and praise and honor that you are due. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shadow don't do the Asiara Bato Moshayara Bato. Korea the Endio Shara Basikitio do Yotoma Hayara Bako Rahay. Hallelujah, Lord, have your way. Somebody just say, Lord, have your way in me. Do what you want to in my life, Lord. Do what you want in my family, God. Do what you want in this church, Jesus. Have your way in this city, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Somebody open up your heart with faith right now for what God's wanting to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Jesus. Praise the Lord, there's perhaps several people here today that you don't consider yourself perhaps a spiritual person. And I don't know for sure who it is. You don't necessarily think, well, I'm not that spiritual of a person. But God wants to change that. God wants to change that. He's wanting you to see things that you've never seen before. He's wanting you to experience things that you've never imagined, you've never experienced. He's wanting to awaken something inside of you that has never really come alive. I feel this with such a burden today, because somebody here today, you may be young, you may be old, but somebody here needs today, you need to open your heart to the moving of the Spirit of God. God is trying to take you to another level. And you can't be content to stay where you're at and where you've been for so long. You've got to say, there's got to be a stirring in your heart. There's got to be something that says, I'm going to go to prayer like I've never gone before. And I'm going to sit still in the presence of the Lord and start to be sensitive to spiritual things. And then when the Lord helps me, I'm going to move by faith. Sometimes we rejoice and, oh yeah, I'm going to take a step of faith, but we don't realize the trial we're going to have to go through in order to take that step of faith where it's everything we've got. And sometimes you got to say, I don't have anything else to go on but faith. But I'm stepping out by faith and declaring that God is able. I tell you today, somebody needs to realize where this church is going and what God is wanting to do. He's looking for individuals that you're not going to be led of flesh. You're not going to be led by feelings or emotions, but there's going to be a power and anointing of God that begins to come on us, and there's going to be a work in this city that only God can do, and He will receive the glory for it. But we've got to reach for it. We've got to press for it. Come on, somebody. Is anybody hungry for an apostolic outpouring of the Holy Ghost that changes our world? Amen, amen. Somebody just say, Lord, do it in me. Lord, do it in me. Do it in me. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. In high school, I took a semester class. It might have been a year. And it was called computer-aided drafting. Now, back then, that was kind of a new thing because we didn't start with computers. We started with pencils. And I don't even know if we ever even made it to the computer, really. I think we finally did, like the last couple weeks of the class. But I thought perhaps I wanted to be an architect. And I enjoy, math and angles and geometry and all of that, and I thought, well, this would be a neat job, and the Lord directed me otherwise. But a good architect can see the finished product before the dirt work is even done. A good architect knows what the finished product is going to be before that first concrete is ever poured. In their mind's eye, they have a vision for the structure that they are creating. It may just be on paper, it may just be in a computer program, but they have a vision for what is going to be. Great artists, they have an idea in mind of what they are going to create before they ever start. Our text today tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not only is He the author of our faith, He's the finisher too. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That ought to encourage somebody's heart here today. Oh, God has started some things in our life, but He's not finished yet. Come on, He's begun a good work. He's begun something. He started moving. He started working, but He's not finished yet. He's not done yet. He's still working on me. Come on, He's still working on you. If He started it, if He was the author of it, He's the finisher too. Somebody let God take you to where He's designed for you. Somebody let God move you to the place that He's already had in mind. It wasn't just a bed of roses for those in the early church. They had to experience sufferings, reproaches, tribulations. No doubt people would tell him, you know what, you'd just be better off if you just look away from Jesus and go back to the law. Look at all you've had to give up for Jesus, and look at all the trouble that happened ever since you started following the Lord, and look at all of this mess. You don't need all that. You'd be so much better off if you just look away from Jesus and go back to what you used to be. Some of you have heard the voice of that very same voice of the enemy has spoke to you. Well, look, when you started trying to live for God, look at all the trouble. Look at all the trials. Look at all the problems. Look at all the heartache. If you just go back to the world, it'd be easier. You need to realize that's the voice of the enemy. How encouraging it must have been for them to hear that what Jesus had begun in them, he would finish too, if they keep looking unto Jesus, if they refuse to be distracted but keep their gaze fastened on the Lord, just as a runner keeps his eyes on the finish line. Every one of us believers today, we need to hold Jesus as the final goal of our life. Jesus endured some things. Why did he look at the cross with joy? How in the world could he do that? Because he had his eyes fixed on the joy that was beyond the ordeal of the cross. He understood the good that would come out of it, and he was able to triumph. Jesus kept his temper. Jesus kept his course. He kept his joy. He kept his heart full of love. That's our example, folks. When we're going through things, we've got to keep focused on the reward that's coming for our faith. Beyond the trial, beyond the uncomfortable circumstances, beyond the persecution, beyond the fiery trial, beyond all of that, there is a reward for us. Oh, the enemy wants us to give up before we ever get there. But we remember today that what he has started in us, he is able to finish it. He's taken us somewhere. We're going through something, but there's some victory on the other side. There's a reward on the other side. Come on, somebody, today. Don't give up in the middle of your valley. Don't give up in the midst of your trial. But look on the other side. There's a reward ahead. Hallelujah. I'm looking unto Jesus, the one who is able. Oh, somebody today, it's Jesus, the one who's working all things for our good. Somebody today, it's Jesus, the one, he's the one who's ordering our footsteps. It's Jesus that has good things planned for us. It's Jesus, that's where we keep our eyes today. It's Jesus that has a way where there seemeth to be no other way. It's Jesus that has everything we could ever need. In the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, we read of Moses, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If we're going to be triumphant Christians, we've got to learn to see the invisible. With his natural eye, Moses could see the danger from Pharaoh. He could see how bad his situation was, the great peril of the children of Israel. But with eyes of faith, he could see him who is invisible. And Moses understood that God was of much greater consequence in his situation than an angry Pharaoh could ever be. Yesterday, the trouble that we're facing, it might seem pretty bad. It seems very visible to the natural eye, especially when we're looking at it really close. But what about our eyes that are meant to see the invisible? The optic nerve, it is responsible for transmitting visual information from our retina in the eye to the brain. Now, every human being has two optic nerves, one for each eye, and they are each composed of over 1 million nerve fibers. The visual signals carried from the eyes along the optic nerve to the brain, which is able to perceive and then process the images that we see with our eyes. Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." As far as the optic nerve is concerned, faith is the evidence of things not seen. But as far as the spiritual eyes of our understanding are concerned, faith is the evidence of things we do see, not with the natural eye, but in the spirit. Walking by faith is walking by sight, but only by better sight than the natural seeing. Let me say that again. Walking by faith, it's walking by sight, but it's not by natural sight. It's by spiritual sight. And God is trying to get us to a place where we spend our life looking at far better things than what just the optic nerve can see. We can get stuck looking around us at everything that's dismal and depressing and discouraging. And those who say they stay stuck there, they will never get to see what's beyond the natural. But God wants our eyes of faith to come alive. And when that happens, we can seek the glorious things that are invisible in the natural, but they're more real than anything in this present world. Hallelujah. Faith is the most rational thing in the world. You might not think like it about it like that, but faith is the most rational thing in this world. Because it is based on the greatest of facts. Faith sees God. It sees Calvary, where the price was paid for our sins. Faith sees the promises of God and His faithfulness. And these things are more certain than the foundation of the greatest mountain. Faith sees the power of God doing the impossible. Faith sees the healing that Jesus Christ already purchased for us on the cross, and with His stripes that He already bore for us. The eye of faith sees this. And all of this is more real and more factual than anything we see around us today in the natural. It's a great mistake for us to think that something is not real because we can't see it. Most people go through their life just living totally by what they see with the optic nerve. Congratulations. God is not content for you to be one of those people. And sometimes the process of transition from the natural to the spiritual is not fun. And some of you have been thinking, I've been going through trouble. I've been experiencing problems. My family's a mess. I got people that should love me and they hate me. And I got things that it's just, I don't know how even God could put the pieces back together again. And you're thinking, why? Why? Sometimes we've got to step back and close our natural eyes and say, God, help me to start to sense some things in the spiritual. Because, Lord, with all of this, there's got to be more to this than just what I understand in the natural. It's a mistake for us to think things are not real because we can't see it with our natural eyes. If someone were to blindfold us here today and then lead us up and down the aisles of this room, think about it. Just kind of imagine you're blindfolded and we're leading you around this building here today. The floor under our feet is just as real as if we could see it. But I can't see it. It'd be foolish of me to think that it's not real, because it is real. I can't see it, but it's real. Every time we took a step, we'd be acting on faith that floor is going to be there when we take the next step. It's there. I'm doing it by faith because I can't see it, but I'm doing it by faith. Every step we'd be taking in faith. And that's the evidence of things not seen with our natural eyes. It's faith. Now, even though we'd be blindfolded, the chairs in this place would be just as real as if we could see them. We couldn't see them, but they're still real. In fact, we'd find out how real they are if whoever was leading us around got off and we stubbed our toe. Somebody might say, no, that chair's not real because I can't see it. Well, you don't care about what they can see or not see. You just broke a toe. It's real. Whether we can see the chair or not with our natural eyes, it's real. And there's some things sometimes that we've been telling ourselves it's not real because we haven't learned to see beyond the optic nerve. There are some things that God has spoken to some of you here today, and because you can't see it yet in the natural, you're having a trouble believing it. Maybe you've even refused to believe it. Or maybe there's some here today that you've been holding on to some promises from God. And maybe it's been years ago that God gave you some of those promises. And the enemy keeps on telling you it's not real because you can't see it. In fact, things are really looking bad because everything you can see, it's trouble and it's chaos. And then the optic nerve is telling the brain it's time to give up on that promise because it's not there yet in the natural, but beyond what we can see in the natural right now, we've got to learn there's an invisible world that is more real than what we experience in the flesh. Come on, somebody, you need to look beyond. You need to look beyond today to where your situation is changing. Whether it's your finances or your marriage or your health, whatever the situation is, we've got to see the invisible. We've got to see in the spirit the great things that God has promised us. They are just as real if we could see them with our natural eyes. But look in the spiritual. Look unto Jesus. Because of the faithfulness and the promises of God, faith is the most solid ground that we could ever stand on. To somebody that is not walking by faith, it looks like we're just stepping out into space. But to those who have faith in the Word of God, we're walking on the greatest foundation that there is. It's the foundation that holds this whole universe together. Yesterday I was praying and walking through the building, and I was praying for the will of God to be done here, and praying for the service today. I prayed for blind eyes to be opened, for deaf ears to be healed. If anybody needs that here today, I want to tell you, God wants to do that for you. But as great of a miracle as blind eyes being opened would be, a greater miracle would be for someone who is spiritually blind to have their spiritual eye opened. Someone who's been totally dependent on whatever information their optic nerve is carrying from the retina to their brain. But oh, how great would it be if they would say, God, I want to see. I want to really see. And if God would open their spiritual understanding, their spiritual eyes to a world that is more real than our surroundings here today. Oh, too many just brush that off. Too many don't want to see it. They're comfortable in the natural. They don't want to push into the things of the spirit. They don't want to pay the price to go to that spiritual level, but they're content living in a world that's going to pass away when there's something else out there that will never pass away, and they're missing the things that will last for eternity. Is there anybody who has a hunger for that today? And you would pray with me right now, Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual understanding. Help me to see beyond just the circumstances that I understand in the natural. But God, there's something beyond that. There's a reward beyond that. There's a realm of anointing and power beyond that. I've got to have help, Lord, because I want to go by my flesh. But Lord, I want you to take me beyond. Oh, come on. I wish somebody would just press a little bit right now. I wish somebody would just press a little bit right now. Lord, take us beyond. Take us beyond the natural. Take us beyond what we see with our natural eye. Let our spiritual eyes be open. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you need to rebuke that voice of fear that says, oh, if you open yourself up to this, you're going to have to go through something. I want to tell you, if you go through it, if God allows you to go through it, he'll take you through. He's in control. If he allows it, it's working for your good. Come on, somebody. Don't be fearful for what God has for you. Don't hold back in fear. Don't turn away in fear. But Lord, give us faith to believe for it. Give us faith to push for it, Lord. Give this church faith, Lord, to press into the realm that you have for us, that next dimension, that next level, oh God. Come on, we like being comfortable, but we're going to miss out on what God has for us if we're determined to stay comfortable. God, I pray that you would just give me the grace to make it through. Give me the faith, Lord, to go to another level. I pray, God, that you would accomplish it through me somehow, Lord, that you would receive the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so many types and shadows of Christ throughout the Old Testament. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were getting close to the promised land, but they had to go far out of their way because of the Edomites. Jacob and Esau, brothers. Went two different directions. Descendants of Esau did not treat the Israelites as family. They said, you cannot go through our region. And it was a real challenge because to go around the Edomites was, they actually had to turn back away from Canaan and go back into the wilderness. But instead of trusting God, they began to speak against God and against Moses. Reading in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They chose a bad time to complain against the Lord. They were out in the desert. They didn't have chariots. They didn't have many weapons, if any. And they were facing enemies that were hard to see. Some of that have studied this have said that this new enemy was the carpet viper, or what is also called the saw-scaled viper. It's a very, very poisonous snake with a type of serrated scales that produce a sizzling sound when they're rubbed together. These vipers blended in with the sand, and sometimes they would hide with just their heads protruding. They don't hang out alone, but they come in swarms. Their venom is as toxic as any other poisonous snake in the world. It's a deadly snake with a bad temper, and it's easily provoked. And hidden there in the warm, comfortable sands of the desert near Edom, these snakes were not in a good mood. By the incursion of millions of Israelites marching through their territory. And they began striking at the ankles going by. Fiery serpents. Moses simply said, they bit the people and much people died. What a tragedy. So close to the border of the promised land. So near to victory. But rather than entering Canaan now, many of them are entering unmarked graves somewhere out there in the wilderness, all because of their complaining and unbelief. Numbers 21 and verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Everyone that was bit by that fiery serpent had a condition for their healing. They were to look upon the serpent on a pole and they would live. Now Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's some things for us here in this story. These were deadly snakes. People were dying left and right. There was no cure. There was no anti-venom, but the people repented, and God made a way of escape. The only way to escape death, the only way for them to have healing, was to look at the serpent that Moses lifted up. What does looking at something mean? First of all, it means to be occupied with it. Looking means to be occupied with what we're looking at. No doubt those who had been bitten, they were occupied with symptoms and feelings. The intense burning and the pain from the bite of the serpent. But God required that they put feelings aside and that they become occupied with the way of escape. When we look to Jesus, we've got to put feelings aside. Feelings might be very real to us in the flesh, but we're learning to walk by faith and not by feeling. We're learning to be occupied with something that's greater than the reality around us in the natural. We're occupied with looking at Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. I've got to keep my eyes on Him. I've got to keep occupied with Him. Looking means attention. We're too distracted. We're too connected with the world around us. Media has our attention. But we've got to look unto Jesus. I want to encourage somebody who may be going through the trial of your life today. You need to remove the distractions. You need to get off social media. You need to get rid of the television. You need to get rid of your smartphone for a while and remove those distractions that are keeping your attention off God. Those things that are time wasters, keeping your attention from the Word of God and time in the presence of the Lord. The enemy wants our attention on the realities that he has created in this natural world. But our salvation, our saving, is to look to Jesus. Yes, sometimes we're surrounded by serious things, but we've got to keep our attention on the Lord. Read the story of Jonah in the belly of that great fish. Talk about a scary reality. This is not something he just dreamed about. He was there. He was in it. It was dark. It stank. He was about to die. And he talks about, you read that story, he talks about his soul fainted within him. I bet it did. But he remembered the Lord. And then he used the phrase lying vanities to describe what he was going through. His situation was pretty real. You don't get much more real than being stuck in a big fish's stomach. But he said it was lying vanities. Lying vanities. And he determined to lift up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's what looking means. With all absolute turmoil and distress around him, Jonah said, I'm going to lift a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm keeping my attention on the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep your attention on Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Get rid of the distractions. Determine, I'm going to keep focused on the one who's going to bring me through this. Looking means expectation. Expectation. Peter and John went into the temple, the hour of prayer, and there was the lame man there by the gate, and he looked unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Somebody here today needs to realize it's more than just looking at Jesus, but I'm looking unto Jesus because I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting something to change in my situation. I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting revival. I'm expecting a financial breakthrough. I'm expecting something from the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me in closing today? Hallelujah. Anybody got money in the bank? Got some money in the bank? Okay, Brother Andrew, I'm going to go home with you today because he's got money in the bank. Whether it's a dollar or $1 million, you got it covered. How do you know you got that money in the bank? You can't see the money. In fact, I don't even know if they got the money in the bank right now to cover everybody. If we all went to get the money out of the bank, they'd be like, hold up. So how do you know when you go up to that bank teller and say, I want to get $100. You can't see that money. They don't take you back to the back to a vault and say, okay, this stack right here, that's yours. How do you know you've got that money? You trust the one
that backs it up.
You have faith in that financial institution. And in your mind, you see it. It might be $32, but in your mind, you see it. Not with the natural eyes. Until they put it in your hand, you can't see it in the natural. But in your mind, you see it. Somebody here today, you've been seeing your worst nightmare come to pass. You've been seeing all the lies that the enemy has told you come to pass. You've been seeing the trouble. You've been seeing the circumstance. You've been seeing all the bad things that you're afraid of coming true. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. You need to have faith in the one who backs his word. So that when you read a scripture, you just think, I can't make it anymore. Then you read Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And in your mind, you see it. You see it somehow. I open my eyes and look with the optic nerve and I don't see it, but I close my eyes and I see in the spiritual and I see it coming to pass. Lord, I'm ready to make some withdrawals on what you have given me in your word. You've promised me every promise in the book is mine. And I stand on the word of God today. And I declare it to be so in my life. I'm closing my natural eyes. And I'm opening my eyes in the spirit. And I'm looking unto Jesus. Because he's the one that backs up his word.